We're very thankful this morning to be back in the house of God, and we're thankful to God for allowing us to see just another day. If you're happy to be alive, you can say amen with me. God has been good to us. God is good not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time, and all of the time God is good. We want to welcome those who may be visiting with us and not members of the Church of Christ via conference call, via Facebook Live, YouTube Live, all these venues, avenues we have are reaching those outside of this building. We welcome you to our call, and those who are here, we welcome you as well. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that in the churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? To go to heaven, you got to do what this book say, right? Yeah, this is a book that God has given us. This is the word of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instructions in righteousness. And so if you want to be saved, you got to believe that this book's right first. If a person doesn't believe in the Bible, we can't help them with a book they don't believe in. But once you come to terms, this book is the only book that tells man what happens after they die. And this book came from God, and I believe it came from God. I don't think a man could have wrote this book. But this book tells us about God who loved the world so much that he gave his only son, Jesus the Christ, who hung on a tree, a cross. And there he would suffer 6 hours after being brutally beaten and spit upon and mocked. And there was blood that was shed on that cross that would wash your sins away in baptism. And that same blood purchased his church. And there's but one church in this book. And that church is the Church of Christ. The only one in the book. It's the only one in the book. It's the only one in there. If there was another one in there, I'd preach about it. But it's not in there. The only one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one church, which is the body of Christ. And according to this book, the saved in the church. Somebody say, Brother Brooke, you saying the saved in the Church of Christ? Absolutely. I couldn't say anyone was saved outside the Church of Christ. Why you say that, Brother Brooke? The book doesn't say that. Can't say nothing the book doesn't say. So if you're listening to us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, according to this book, your soul is lost. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you just got to take that up with God. Take that up with God. Everything you can believe in, I can convince you. I don't have to convince you of. Is that you're going to die. Amen. They don't have to ask anyone, do they believe in death? Everybody believes in death. Well, there's something after death. And this book tells us what we must do. And so all those of us who are members of the Church of Christ have been baptized for remission of our sins in water. And we then joined the church. The Lord added us to it. So that's how you become a member of the church. Then the members of the Church of Christ, you got to live faithful. There's no such thing. Once you're saved, you're always saved. That's a false teaching. No, you got to live right. And you got to confess your fault. When you mess up, you got to repent. That means change your mind about it. Yeah. All of us mess up, don't we? Amen. If you say you don't mess up, I'll tell you what your mess up is. You're a lie. And the truth ain't in you. Amen. All have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. Amen. So there's no sense of looking down on nobody. Just deal with your own sin. Everybody got them. Everybody got something they're dealing with. Amen. I know what mine is. Do you know what yours is? Yeah. But I'm glad God gave us a way to be forgiven, aren't you? Amen. And that's why I'm a Christian, because I want to be forgiven. And I know there'll be time when I need to ask God to forgive me when I make mistakes. That's the goodness of God right there. That's the grace of God, you know. And so how many of you believe that what I said is true? You know, all have sinned and fallen short. Yeah, every one of us, sin-sick people. We sick. Every one of us loaded with some infirmity of some kind. And not a person sitting on the pew ain't dealing with sin. Not one. No, not one. Amen. And that's why I come every Sunday. And now I put up with crazy folk. Yeah, you got crazy folk in this world. You put up with unbelieving people who don't believe this. We got people who are members of the church. They just in the church. They're not trying to live it. But they're members of the church. And you know what members of the church need to be? Just like sick people need to be at the hospital. Members of the church, we all need to be here. Every one of us drinking this blood. I try to suck the bottom out of the cup. I need all the blood. I don't want to leave none in there. When I got turned out, I try to get it all. I need every bit of the blood I can get to make it to heaven. Don't you? Yeah. Now, appreciate Brother Stroud stepping in for me last week. And thank him for helping me out as much as he can. But you know, I've been kind of taking some thoughts from Old Testament teaching. Now, Old Testament is written for our learning. That's what it's for. You know, we don't worship like they did. We don't worship like David. That's why we don't have the instrumental music and all that stuff. We don't kill no animals and goats and calves. And we don't have no burnt offerings. We don't go to the altar. We don't do none of that stuff. We're New Testament Christians. But there are some practical faith-building lessons in the Old Testament that I've been kind of focusing on to kind of help us with some thinking on Christian living. Not only must we be baptized, we must deal with life. And life is tough, right? Yeah, I don't know about you. I'm at 62 now. I'm three score plus 2 days, 2 years. But, you know, to God, it's like a day, 1,000 years. But, you know, when you start getting up in age, you know, you can talk about some things that I couldn't have talked about when I was 20. Couldn't think like this when I was 20. And so the Old Testament gives us some practical things to think about. This life is serious, you know, and it was at a funeral yesterday, you know. A funeral was here yesterday, a funeral where I was at yesterday. People are dying everywhere, but they've been dying. But it seems like the older you get, the more you start thinking about it yourself. You know, you start thinking, man, death coming. But it ain't got no age on it. Amen. It ain't got no age on it. So I want to give a lesson this morning, because it seems like we live in a world that seems to be dead to the truth. Dead to morals and uprightness. And even dead to the value of life. Man, you don't need to, don't point your finger at somebody in a car. Then if they stop too fast, you just stop. You don't need to do that. Road rage stuff is, folk are killing folk over nothing. And then some of us just get ourselves in that situation. Just because somebody else act a fool doesn't mean you have to act a fool with them. Then you got two fools. Now let one be a fool, somebody use some sense. And man, if they shoot you the finger, you know, ain't no sense in pointing back at them. Y'all know what that means, don't you? Yeah, they'll do that to you on the road. Folk will jump in front of you, stuff like that. And they just heard this morning, you like, drive by two cars, get in the rage, one shoot, shot a man in the head just this morning. Man, we live in a world where the value of life is nothing. People are just killing folk. Think about the school shooting. The most recent school shooting, 19 kids killed two adults. Some say due to mental illness. That's what some say. But I'm saying all this ain't mental illness. Stay with me now. I'm talking about some things that we need to hear and the world needs to hear. Because we just can't write off everything on mental illness if man done schemed and plotted to go into a grocery store because he don't like black people and kill them. He ain't crazy. He's a racist. Folk hate people. Hatred is in this world. And much of what we are seeing in the world is evil. It's devilish. Everybody ain't crazy. Now, there are some people who are truly mentally ill. This is not a put down on those who need help. That's not what I'm doing. But I am pointing out the fact that every one of us needs to know something about our minds. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, it said the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. That's why I check all of us in here can think some wicked stuff. Stuff you don't want to think about. can come to your mind. Amen. You can say amen, because this is stuff that we need to accept, that this world is not going to get any better. The best thing we can do is teach the truth and baptize Christians. Because evilness is not going to get better. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Are you evil? Yeah. See, you got some evil people in your life. There are evil people around us. And we have to be aware of this stuff. Right here in Houston and across the U.S., we hear of daily shootings and killings of innocent lives. A man in a subway and a man just shooting. Somebody say, well, take away the gun. A crook, a thief, a law-breaking individual don't need a gun to kill. He'll find a way to kill because he's evil. You can hide all the guns you want. And they got a black market out there. And I'm not promoting any of the political stuff. I'm not pro-gun, pro. I'm just saying it, when sin is involved and a person, it's been going on since way back in time. Cain killed Abel. Killing is wrong. People are going to kill. They're going to find a way to kill. Amen. Killing of innocent lives. Going to have to answer to God. Amen. That's what. And then political battles going on. Blue and red. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I told you last week I wasn't taking this back. Shouldn't be no blue-red Christians. We are Christians. We abide by this law. And we don't endorse others who don't abide by this law. We do not go along with wrong. We don't support wrong. We don't endorse wrong. We stand up against wrong. It don't matter who they are, what color they are. And there are black races just like there are white races. Amen. Yeah. Some of you are too politically influenced to be a Christian. And I know you ain't liking what I'm saying. Because you might got the big D on you. You wear the big D sign. Some of you wear the big red sign, the R. You should wear the C. The Christian. That's the banner you ought to wave. Pull me on it. Because I said it. Sinful decision on all sides of political spectrum. Sinful things such as, look at divorce. The numbers on divorce are staggering. God hates divorce. So must we. Amen. Don't get quiet. Because if we deal with things in our marriages, if we deal with things, these divorces would not be so high. But everyone is not trying to follow the law of God. They want a divorce for whatever reason. Family violence. Domestic abuse. What man here is beating your wife? Verbally, mentally, physically abusing her. That's going on. And women, unfortunately, abusing their own husbands and children. Fathers killing children. Mothers killing children. Domestic abuse where one man kill his wife, kill his children. Kill itself. How do we help this situation? Suicides. People taking their own lives. is at an all-time high. How do we help the situation? Debates over choices of taking an innocent baby life or not, right or wrong. It's innocent. It's an abomination. One of the things God hates is the taking of an innocent life. That's in your Bible. There's not a child in a mama's womb that's guilty of doing anything. You shed innocent blood, you answer to God. Christians should not be pro-abortion. We're supposed to believe in life. We believe in life, don't we? Amen. Who give life? Who takes life? Thank you. Do you have a choice? Yes, you do. Every one of us have a choice. We can do right or we can do wrong. Ain't nobody going to come down here and beat us to make us do it right. God is not going to do that. But there is coming a whooping day. Just keep living. And then die. You'll see. What about this whole thing about homosexuality and same-sex marriage? Where we stand on that? Do we stand on male and females? Do we still believe in that? Do the world we live in, they're promoting to us that there's, you can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. That's a lie. There's a distinct difference. You can't fake being a woman if you're a man. Doesn't matter how you twist and walk and shape. You can't be a woman. Your pelvic ain't made the same as her. That's why you have to fake it so hard. And then a woman walk around with stuff in the front showing and then got a haircut like a man. That don't make you a man. Somebody said, Brother Brooke, you against a homosexual? No, I'm against wrong. I'm against sin. It's not the person. It's the evil side of this thing. This is devilish stuff. Same-sex marriage for a man to marry a woman is an abomination to God. It's a reprobated mind, God call it. It's not natural. And these are modern-day conversations going on, and our children are hearing it. And from the pulpit, we ought to be straightening this matter out as what we should be thinking, the way we should be thinking. We live in a world where all kind of religions, divided religious world, the religious world, with an attempt to have us as Christians to accept some of these sinful behaviors as okay with God, and we're covered by the grace of God. Oh, no, no, ma'am, no, sir. Sin has to be dealt with by the blood of Jesus. And we dare not accept the wrong. Neither do we go along with it. Many today have tried Christianity but have lost hope in God. Many of the members of the church have left the church, gone back to the denominational churches. You didn't believe it. So I said, I can't believe someone left the church, cried, and went back. I do. When you don't believe in the one church, you'll leave the one church. Man, if you don't believe in the one church, you ain't going to be a member of the one church. Preach it, Brother Brooks. I'm going to preach it. Well, my cousin, my son went back. He knew it. Your son didn't believe. You don't get out of a burning house and go back in it. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. You know any fool that is in a house burning, run out of it and find himself safe and say, I think I'm going back in. I don't believe in fire no more. You don't see nobody doing that. The people who leave the Church of Christ never believed in the Church of Christ. Yeah, you're an unbeliever. That's what you are. That's what you are, no matter if it's my child or yours. You got to call a spade a spade. Yeah. People that try Christianity, I'm unchurched, call themselves unchurched. I don't go to no church. I don't believe in all the churches. No, God ain't messed up. Who's messed up is us. It's the people. God didn't design, what God gave us was a son who died and purchased his church. And that church is the wife of Christ, and she's okay. But it's the members. It's the people of the world. That's the problem. And then these men building churches all over, everywhere, putting their name on, all they doing is making money. Don't you know why a man will build a church and start his own? Because it's a business. He's not preaching to save souls. I often wonder about members of the Lord's church preaching in the Church of Christ anymore. Do anything to get a member in. Praise dance them in. Shake hand them in. Amen. Long as you baptized out there somewhere, we don't care if it's water sprinkling or whatever. You want to be a member here, just bring your money. Yeah, we'll put you on the roll. We'll put a show on for you. You can't come to High Life for no show. We're not going to give you the theatrics on the stage. You're going to have 7 men up here singing and praising and dancing and all that kind of stuff. We're not doing that. And not a lot of us left. Now, I know some of them listening to me right now. Yeah, they listen to Brother Brooks. You don't see Brother Brooks on the citywide lectures, do you? You want to know why? Y'all don't know why? Because they hear what I say. They know I'm talking about them. And you want to come here, then you'll see that we're not doing that. So why would you call me and put me on a stage where they are? Because I'm going to say it's wrong. That's why. I hope they hear me. Don't have to invite me. I'm not offended. It just concludes to me I'm standing with right. That's where I stand. I'm going to keep standing there. And if they don't like it here, I can leave. But I'm not changing for the folk. I don't need your popularity contest. I don't seek to please men. Paul said, you seek to please men, you're not the servant of Christ. I expect to be outcasted because the few are. The few. That's what Jesus said anyway. There's a straight and a narrow way. And Jesus said this, few there be to find it. He said it, and I stand with it. Why am I spending my time on this? Because there are people who are dried up, dead bones, with no hope. No hope. We live in a world where many are dead to God. Sin is alive and popping, leaving many with skeletal remains without hope. Turn to Ezekiel 37 chapter so I can bring this home. Principal application here for your consideration on some of the things I've mentioned up front. Ezekiel 37:1, the Bible says,
the hand of the Lord was
the hand of the Lord
and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord.
Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was on me. He carried me out in the spirit of the Lord.
And set me down in the midst of the valley.
Now, see the picture. Some of you may have heard this Old Testament story before, and that's fine if you have. I'm trying to make it a different kind of twist on it. And he was in a valley full of bones. This is Ezekiel talking.
And caused me to pass by them.
He caused me to pass round about.
And behold, there are many.
Now, you got to visualize the valley. There's a valley down there. And he's looking at this valley.
And lo, they were very dry.
It was a bunch of bones. And, you know, when a skeleton, when a person dies, those bones disconnect. And you have skeletal remains. Sometimes they're scattered all out. Right? But every bone belonged to somebody. And then, so he see all these bones. And they were very dry.
And he said unto me,
Son of man,
can these bones
God
live?
God asked him, can the bones live?
And I answered.
And he came back and said,
O Lord God,
you know.
Thou knowest.
And then he said,
again, he said unto me,
prophesy
upon these
bones. So he tells Ezekiel, you talk to these bones for me, Ezekiel.
And say unto them, O ye dry bones,
he said, now listen to this. I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And he said, prophesy to these bones, say to them, O ye dry bones. Now notice what the bones got to do. Here, hold on, I'm starting to make the application. A dead bone can hear. What did they say you got to do?
Hear.
They got to hear. So you got to hear. This is what he says now.
Thus said the Lord God, go into these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live.
And God said, I'm going to put breath in them, and they're going to live. You go ahead and tell them that.
And I will lay
He speaks to these bones.
Upon you.
I'm going to put sinews, talking about the muscles upon you. I'm going to bring up on flesh.
Upon you and cover you with skin and put breath
put some
in
skin
you,
on you.
And you shall live.
Put breath in you.
And you shall know
them
that
bones
I
gonna
am
live.
The Lord.
You'll know that I ain't got you. He said, I'm going to do all this. But notice now. God is working on these bones from the inside out. He got to put the bones back together. And then put some muscle and tendons on them. And then he got to cover that muscle and tendon with some flesh. Skin. You see the picture. So God talks to these bones. He said, now, I'm going to put some breath in them, which is going to give them some life. And they can live only when they get the breath in them, right? And then he said, when I do this, you're going to know who I am. That I am who?
The Lord.
The Lord. Listen to the next verse.
So I prophesied.
Ezekiel said, I did it. I prophesied.
As I was commanded.
Just like God told me. Now, that's what I got to do. See, the man of God who stands in this pulpit, or any pulpit, first got to tell the truth about himself. I can't help you if I can't help myself. The first person everybody needs to look at is the one in the mirror. So, you know, so I'm saying this to me just like I'm saying it to you. But we got to hear God's word, and I have to keep the command to preach it. That's what Ezekiel is doing. So I prophesied. And then Ezekiel said, there was a noise. I thought I hearing some things. What are you hearing?
And behold, a shaking.
I hear some shaking.
And the bones came
y'all
together.
Y'all see it, don't you? It's the valley. Whole bunch of dead bones in the valley, bro. Uh-huh. And now Ezekiel said, man, something's starting to happen. What's going on, Ezekiel? A whole lot of shaking going on down there. Now, I can just hear them bones. Can't y'all hear them bones? And all the bones started shaking. And he said, and they came together. Know what he said?
Bone to his bone.
To bone. The foot bone connected to the ankle bone. And the ankle bone connected to the shin bone. And the shin bone connected to the knee bone. And the knee bone connected to the thigh bone. And the thigh bone connected to the hip bone. And the spine bone connected to the hip bone. And it came up to the shoulder bone. Is that right? Yeah. And then the neck bone connected to the skull. And now now notice, Kai's bone can't connect to my bone, because my bone belonged to me. So every soldier that was in that valley, even though these bones were scattered out, see all that shaking and rattling, with all these bones trying to find their main parts, go back to the body they were on. Y'all see the picture, don't you? And now he said, now watch then, when God, and he said, when I beheld,
Lord.
And like Ezekiel said, well, I looked at that thing. But you got to see, I was just thinking, how did this look, man? It's a valley of soldiers, a whole bunch of soldiers was out there dead. And Ezekiel said, look at that, I hear some noise. They started shaking them bones, and he witnessing all this. And then he said, I'll be hell. And lo, not only were the bones connected, he said, then
the
God put side new
flesh
came on these bones. They're starting to look like people now. Amen.
And
the skin covered them above. But they still dead. There are no breath in them. Now, see, here's what God, as I said, working from the outside, inside out of these dead bones. And then he put the bones together, and the bones were listening. They were scattered. They started to come together, and their life and hope starts to develop. Hope starts to what?
Develop.
It's developing as God makes his move. And maybe you somebody here today, your life is just, you just scattered a bunch of scattered bones. I'm going to make an application in a minute. But now if you're listening and you let God work in your life, you can put all that stuff back together and give you life again. Verse 9, he said unto me, prophesy
unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man.
Ezekiel said he told me to start talking to the wind. And son of man, he told Ezekiel, said, say to the wind, talk to the wind, Ezekiel.
Come from the four winds, and
he said, thus said the Lord, come from four winds, O breath,
and breathe upon these slain.
That they're going to live again.
So
Ezekiel said, I did what he told me. I prophesied, and he commanded me.
And the breath came into them,
in these bones. These bones are coming alive. And they live. All of a sudden, you got a dead bones in a valley. Now, they all of them are standing upright. The bones are all been put back together. God done put flesh on them. And they standing up. Notice what they made. They stood up on their feet. When they stood up on their feet, they stood up as an army.
Great army.
It was a dead bunch of soldiers. And when God put them back together, they had an exceedingly great army. When these dead bones heard God, they obeyed his command. They had life and stood up with the ability to fight as a great army. And so every one of them were now in God's army. Amen. Because they were raised up by God. And that's why we got to keep in mind that as our brain doesn't close, there's an army today. But God got to raise the dead bones up to get them. Am I right about it? Yeah, here's the application. People today are spiritually dead. In verse 11, he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." God didn't tell them who they were.
Behold.
And they say, "Oh, bones.
Our bones are dry.
They talk, Israel was saying, our bones are dry.
And our hope is lost.
And our hope is lost." Here's my title right here.
We are cut off.
When the bones are dead, the hope is lost. And are cut off for our parts. These dead bones said and understood that they were dead, separated from one another, and separated from God without hope. And if you're here today, you have to be the one to know that you're the one. You are dead in your sin. Isaiah 59, you're separated from God, that he will not hear your prayer. That's why the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God. And your sins have hid his faith in you that he will not hear." Then in verse 12, he said, "Therefore prophesy unto them, thus said the Lord God, behold my people.
I will open your graves.
I will open your graves, cause you to come up out of your graves, bring you into the land of Israel.
And you shall know that I am the Lord.
I am the Lord.
When I have opened your graves,
O
my people, and brought you out of your graves."
And then he's going to do something else.
"And shall put my spirit in you,
and
ye shall live.
They gonna live.
And I shall place you in your own land.
You put them where he want them to be.
Then ye shall know that I'm the Lord. Have you spoken it?
Now,
and performed
so here
it, saith the Lord."
Here it is. Here's the application. Many people's lives are shattered, scattered bones with no hope. And some of you probably sitting in here are listening to me out there. We live in a world filled with evil, just dead bones with no hope because they not hearing God. Remember, the first thing they had to do was hear. The first thing these bones had to do was hear God. If the world would start listening to God, we live in a better world. People who have skeletal remains of relationships, skeletal remains, just dead bones in that relationship, dead bones with no hope. Family relationships torn up. Dead bone with no hope. Fighting over daddy's inheritance. Fighting over what's in the will. Not speaking to one another. Dead bones with no hope. Child relationships shattered, scattered bones. Daddy ain't been there for him. Mama not there for him. Grandma having to take care of him. That's why I asked about the boy who went into school. Where was his mama? Where was his daddy? You got to go all the way back to the mama and daddy. Then you'll shoot his grandmother. Where was mama at? Dead bones. Dead bone mamas. Dead bone daddies. Made the baby won't take care of him. Woman got to take you to child support. Take you to court. It shouldn't be a Christian living. A man of God. That woman have to take you to court and take care of your child. You dead bone, my brother. And some of you, "Well, I'm paying child support." And you don't want to pay it. Because if you wouldn't be on child support, you just done what you were doing right. Amen. Those kids are suffering because of it. You got to go to mama. Dad, got to go some kids are not even run away. They throw away. They throw the kids away. And then they send them to somebody else to step in. They start calling them a stepdad and a stepmama. What do they mean? Mama ain't there. Somebody had to step in to be mama. And that's good that you did. But now the child this weekend, he get weekend with his daddy by the law. Because the court had to do it. Yeah, give him custody. Give her custody. He gets the weekend. She get him during the week. The child is confused. I don't understand why I got to jump from one house to another. And I get discipline in this house. I don't get discipline in this house. So the child go pick the house where there's no discipline. I don't want to go to mama's house. I got mama go. Yeah, I don't want to go to daddy's house because daddy going to tighten up on me. So I'm going to go live with the one who ain't going to be so tight because I want to do some loosey-goosey stuff. Don't you know teenagers going to do that anyway? I know. Y'all want me to stop. I'm going to stop. There's stuff like this. Somebody said, brother, do you preach just the gospel? And I preach the gospel, but there's a whole lot of stuff that this good news can correct. But I got to point it out to you. Some of you ain't thinking about it like this. You're tearing up them homes. The bad marriages just torn up. Members of the Lord's church in bad situations. They ran out there and divorced because of irreconcilable differences. And then get upset at me because we say, well, what God say? Yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, the problem is the marriage wasn't right from the beginning. When God is not in a family, when God is in the midst of a husband and wife, you can work through anything. Praise the Lord. Nasty divorces. Nasty. Nasty divorce. Just dead bone, no hope. Somebody got a sin in your life, is in your past, and you're living with the consequences of it. You don't like the consequences now. You don't do nothing about it. You're going into depression, all this stuff. You're dead bone, no hope. Because, you know, God is not in the picture. One brother I was talking to last week, he said, Brother Brooke, we down like two flat tires. I said, no, we're out. Your tire flat. Mine got air in it. Now, I told him, too, I said, now, don't be putting me in that. I ain't down with you on something. No, I ain't going down with something. Because you down, don't. I ain't going mine rolling. Amen. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Bro, talking about we down like two flat tires and no wind. Yeah, you. Call somebody else. Amen. We don't go alone, get along. Yeah, brother, but he might be listening. I don't know if you are. But I told him to his face, I ain't down with you. Here's the practical application from this. All these situations can be dealt with God. Amen. Everything I met, so the first thing I said, God was speaking, and the bones had to listen. God worked from the inside out. Same thing He do with us. What I'm doing now is putting God's word in your head. And God is His word is quick, is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divine son of the soul, the spirit, joints and marrow. Remember the bones? The word of God go all inside. I'm tearing you up right now. I'm working on you. I'm working on me. If the word of God, when you hear it, it works. It doesn't come back void. No. Don't come thinking about you upset with me. Because what you upset at is that I didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. You don't want to hear God's word. That doesn't offend me. So Brother Brooks said, yeah, if Brother Brooks said it and it's according to the scripture, then I'm sticking with it. If I say something that ain't scriptural, I'll take it back. Amen. Why? The man of God must speak. Because dead bones can't live without the word of God. And God connected all of them together. I pointed out that God will work on the heart. He will work on the heart of man. The word of God is for that purpose. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's given by God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16. Maybe somebody here today, your life is shattered, scattered bones. You're listening to me, you out there, and you're one of the ones I've been talking about. And what you got to do is now listen to God. You got to let him in your life. You got to let the Lord in your life to get your bones all to come back together. You want your marriage back. You want your relationship with your family back. You want to get your life together. You got to get God in the picture. And don't just get him in there and take him. And when you need him, take him. And then when you don't need him, throw him away. That's how many of you messed up. Many of you, you take God when you need him, and when God don't agree what you're doing, you kick him to the wayside and then go get somebody else to tell you what you want to hear. Yeah. It's a bittersweet pill. Yes, sir. You got to drink the bitter side of this word. God, it will cut you, but it ain't going to hurt you. It'll help you. Your life, who in here with your life messed up? When these dead bones heard God, they obeyed him. They had life stood up. And then the second part, once those bones stood up and became a great army, that army today is the Church of Christ. Amen. The dead people are dead people that are dead in sin. Those are the dead ones I'm talking about. You're dead in sin. Spiritually dead. But there's still hope. Because as long as God is on the throne, as long as you can hear his word and believe it and change your life, then you can get yourself together. Because without God, there is no hope. On Christ, the solid rock, I'll stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. All of us can fall in this category of dead, dry bones. Me, you, every one of us. But we better hear God. We better hear him if we're going to get any better. The world got to hear him. The White House needs to hear him. Supreme Court need to hear him. But no matter what the Supreme Court rule, I would always tell you this. The Supreme Court of Heaven has already ruled. God the Father is a justice. God the Son is a justice. God the Holy Spirit is a justice on the Supreme Court of Heaven. It done ruled on marriage. It done ruled on abortion. It done ruled. No matter what man say, God already ruled. I'm going to stand with him. He said, Brother Brooks, my life is messed up. You know, every one of us in the church can probably say, at some point my life was messed up. But I heard an old story. Our Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You have to hear God that he sent his son. You got to know that his son came and walked among men about 33 years. He healed the blind, gave my sight to them, fed the hungry, walked on water. Amen. And they led him before Pilate, Sanhedrin Court, Caiaphas, and all those who found him with no guilt. Pilate said, I found no fault in the man. But they said, crucify him, crucify him. Because without him being crucified, all of us will be just dead bones with no hope. But they didn't just, they took him then and whipped him with a whip. And they whipped him and scourged him. And they put a crown of thorns on his head. Amen, somebody. Smacked him in the face, slapped him, buffeted him with their fists. That's our Lord right there. Without that slapping, we'd be just dead bones with no hope. Amen, somebody. Without the spit, we'd be dead bones with no hope. Am I right about it? They took him and put a tree on his back. Led him up a hill called Calvary. Some tongues, they call it Golgotha, or the place of the skull. But it don't matter to me what you call it, whether it's Golgotha, Calvary, or the place of the skull. It was on the hill far away. There was stood the old rugged cross. an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross, Jesus Christ, the kindest man, the most loving man, the man that never done wrong, hung between the two thieves who were guilty and deserved death. It was the man in the middle of them that mattered. The man in the middle of the S-O-N was on the cross. He was hanging there. And the S-U-N stopped shining. Because the only thing you could see in this world on that cross was the redness of the blood. And that's the red cross that the world needs today. They need the red cross to deal with the matters that we're dealing with. We need the red cross in the Church of Christ. We need it in our lives. We need it in our families. We need it in our homes. And God knows we need it in the schools. In the schools where they kind of mess up the young people's minds. We need it. We needed the Red Cross, y'all. And when he was on that cross, he said to his father, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why are you forsaking me? God left him on the cross because all of us were nothing but dead bones with no hope. But God said, go tell them. Talk to them bones. Tell them my son hung on the cross for them. Tell them he died on that cross. Tell them they buried him in a borrowed tomb. But tell them early Sunday morning, hope rose up from the grave with all power. And he says to men like me, go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And if you're here today, you haven't been baptized. You dead bone with no hope. If you're listening out there, you haven't been baptized. Somebody says, Brother Brooks, I'm baptized, but I'm not a member of the Church of Christ. That's that baptism with no good. God don't put you in the wrong church. Amen. Whoa. You got to obey the truth to be saved. Amen, somebody. If you're seeking the truth, you heard it this morning. Believe it with all of your heart, number two. Believe it. Believe it. Repent of your sin, number three, Luke 13 and 3 and 5. Number four, you got to confess before men your belief that Jesus is the Son of God. Hebrews 10, 32, 33. Romans 10, 9, and 10. Hebrews 11, 6 said, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that come to him must believe. You got to confess Jesus, Son of God. Then you got to be baptized. Why? Because Jesus said it. That's right. Yeah, not brother. Because Jesus said it, Matthew 28, 18. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Peter said, Acts 2, 38. Paul said it. Ananias said it. Amen. Yeah, 1 Peter 3, 20. Peter just came out and said, baptism saves us. You're not saved till you're baptized. Are you in the audience today? You need to be baptized? Why don't you come? We got water ready. Clothes ready. The angels don't stand by waiting. But here's what you need to know in conclusion. That a dead bone will stay dead until they start listening to God. And hear this from him here. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Does that apply to every member of the Church of Christ? Absolutely. Does that apply to people in the world? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yassim. Yes, sir. That's what they said in the hymn pew. Yes, sir. One thing my uncle taught me one time while I was hoeing peas. I was singing a song, I heard it through the grapevine. Just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, yeah. Through the grapevine, how much longer will you be my baby? My uncle ate there. He talked country, you know. He said, Tommy, he called me Tommy. In the city, they called me Tommy. That's kind of cute. But at home, they called me Tommy. Yes, sir. He said, whatsoever you do, don't you lose your mind. He said, but God knows you need your mind, son. My uncle, he meant, well, that was just a song. Huh? I didn't mean it. Yeah, but you know what? A person that lost their mind, they won't obey God. Why would you lead today, not a Christian, after all we talked about this morning? Well, here's what you got going for you. Grace and mercy. You know why we all here today? You know why we didn't die last night? Because God's grace and mercy. But there's no guarantee, friend. that you're going to get off this conference call and make the next one next week. That you're going to stop, you're going to watch this. It might be your last YouTube. Because God can say when. This might be the last sermon I preach. It might be the last one you ever hear. So each of us should behoove ourselves to examine our lives and ask God to forgive us where we fall short. And if you're here today and you're a Christian or you're listening out there, they're going to get off of here and get on the call. You make your confession on the call. And Brother Tim, them, the brothers on the call will manage that call. If you're on the YouTube, Facebook, you listen to us, you email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we'll make the arrangement to get you baptized because your bones are dead and your hope is gone until you obey God. If you're in this audience today, you want to walk down and be baptized, you come right, as soon as we start singing, you walk down here. And we got the water. Is that right, brother? So we want you to come. If you have a confession or prayer request, remain standing at the end of the invitation song, and we'll acknowledge your request. If you repent of your sin, you confess it. If you haven't repented, it won't help you to telling us about it. You got to stop it. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Brooks. That's good. I like my own preaching sometimes. I just go on and tell myself, well, that's a good preaching, man. That's a good sermon. Yeah. Good for me. Ain't it good for you? Was it good for you? Here's what we want to do. We're getting ready to sing the song of encouragement. But then, wait a minute, let me put my mask on before you come up here. I don't know if I helped you or not. But I know God's word will never come back void. And there's some of you in here hurting for a lot of different reasons other than what things I talked about. Maybe it's your family. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you're going through some hard times. Look here. We believe this. You got hope long as you keep coming to God. You let the Lord help you. And you'll make it. Everything gonna be all right because of God's grace and mercy. So I want you to stand. We sing this invitation song, and we beg you to come as we start singing.